Hello there, I'm Natalia Malu, your unfiltered fit BFF, mom of two turned CEO of a fitness empire. Someone who understands the struggles of trying to stay fit, sane, and sexy, all while juggling work, life, and motherhood. And this is the Unfiltered Fit Life podcast. Follow along wherever you're listening and join me weekly as I help busy working moms just like you simplify their fitness journey so they can lose weight, regain their confidence, and feel sexy AF. It's time to stop living in the what ifs and hiding from the cameras. It's time to regain control over your body, feel sexy naked, and wear a bikini confidently. People already see you as a super confident woman, but it's time for you to feel the same way too. Let's go. Hello, hello there, fam. Welcome to another episode of the Unfiltered Fit Life podcast. I'm Natalia Mello, your host, and today we have a very special guest, a good friend of mine, Brianna Battles, who is the CEO and founder of Pregnancy and Postpartum Athleticism. She has programs, coaching, and resources for pregnant and postpartum athletes, as well as certification courses for coaches and practitioners. Welcome, Brianna. Super excited to have you here.
Oh, it's so good to talk to you again. Thank you for having me.
I know. And it's funny. Do you remember how we met?
We were like in Vegas, right? Was it Vegas? No, Dallas. We were in Dallas.
Yeah, but do you remember how you ended up in Dallas?
I was doing a seminar there.
Yeah. So basically, I don't know if you're going to remember this. I was in an event, a seminar with Anthony. Mm-hmm. And everybody kept on talking about Brianna. And I'm like, who the hell is Brianna? I need to know. I feel like I'm missing out and I don't know Brianna. I need to find out who Brianna is. So I found Brianna on social media and then I started like following you. And then I was like, hey, what's up? Like, what's going on? And then we start talking and I was like, do you have any plans to do a seminar in Dallas? And you're like, no, but I mean, if you kind of, I don't know, we can arrange it. Yeah. And I'm like, tell me how high.
Right.
Oh. And then we had never met and I went to pick you up in the airport. And I was like, what's up? I'm Natalia. Hi.
I feel like that's how like the best connections kick off, are just like very direct and like, we're friends now. whether you want to be or not, we just are. No, that was awesome. I'm glad that worked out. And it's just funny how like it was just like one DM can go so far, you know?
I know. And that's the thing. Like social media has its a lot of cons, but it also has so many pros that I think a lot of people are not talking about, and the ability to connect with people that you probably wouldn't be able to in different circumstances or different times.
Oh yeah. It's been much more of a gift than it has been like a hindrance, at least for me and the same work that I've been able to like put out there into the world. I think that we can make social media what we need it to be. And if we use it in a way that's productive.
100%. So now, Brianna, I really want to talk about, you know, how we got here. Because obviously I kind of know the story, but I would love for you to share with our listeners, like, what did you want to do when you grow up? Like, let's go back and speak with baby Brianna. And like, what did you want to do when you grew up and what got you here to where you are now?
I mean, I think I always knew pretty early on that I wanted to do something with movement. I thought it was probably going to be more in the realm of physical therapy, but that was because when you were interested in kinesiology or anatomy and physiology, there were really like rigid options for what path to take, whether it was be a PE teacher, a personal trainer, maybe going to corporate wellness or physical therapy. And so I think I knew I always wanted to work with the human body and performance because I was an athlete through high school, through college, spent a lot of time coaching, like everything from swim lessons and lifeguarding to then that evolving into coaching different teams and stuff like that. And while I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to do, I was raised by a single mom, and I know we talk about this a lot, where she basically was like, you will go to college, you will be able to support yourself, and basically like never rely on a man to do that. So it was just, there was always this expectation of like, you work hard and you keep going and you keep pushing. And it just sort of led to, I mean, how everything has gone from from getting my different degrees to then working in one capacity to then seeing that evolve over time, all within the kinesiology, exercise physiology, coaching space. But it's just taken a lot of different forms over the last 15-ish years. And mm-hmm. the last decade I have spent running my own business with pregnancy and postpartum athleticism.
I love that. And I love that you mentioned your mom. I actually have a question on that because yeah. I love your mom, but your grandma, I love her.
Yeah,
you're okay. Your mom is okay. Your grandma, she's a legend.
I know. I come from a family of really spicy women that are really fun and very pretty inspirational.
Yeah, I love your grandma. Whenever I see her in your stories, I'm like, ooh, I'm going to watch that one.
Yeah.
That one I'm going to watch.
Yeah, I need grandma and mom for engagement. You know, if engagement is down.
I love it. So, because you have been working with pregnancy and postpartum women, and your eldest, he is a bit older than my son. Mm-hmm. How old is Kate, right?
He's 10 now.
So, Kate is 10.
Yeah.
And I mean, if we're talking 10 years ago, I remember even when I fell pregnant with Nico, which is 8 years ago, he's about to be 8. There was a lot of unknown. So how did it become pregnancy and postpartum after working with teams and athletes on the performance side of things to then talk with the quote unquote special population that everybody thinks that is a delicate little flower?
Absolutely. Well, I think it was because I realized I was not even as a coach, through my own athletic experiences, CrossFit, triathlons, powerlifting, just different modalities of fitness that I was really interested in. I didn't feel like that season of life or that part of me was over. And there was just not a lot of information for people that were athletic or were looking to keep pursuing fitness that wasn't group fitness kind of thing, right? So it was really easy to gravitate towards more of the extreme messaging because it was either don't get your heart rate over 140 beats per minute, lift pink dumbbells, just walk, do yoga, or it was a free-for-all of screw whatever your doctor said.
Get swole.
You don't need to modify. You can hit PRs during pregnancy and basically just either maintain or push boundaries because you're not broken. And yeah. I think it was through my own training experiences as a pregnant athlete, and then more importantly, after an unexpected emergency cesarean and a really hard recovery where I was there's not a lot of guidance. And in hindsight, I learned there was a lot of different ways I should have probably approached my trainee during that first pregnancy that led to a pretty significant diastasis that led to just feeling I didn't really understand my body, didn't really understand my training. And I'm if I feel like this and I'm somebody who knows the human body really well, I really understand performance, then I know that there's so many different people that feel like me. Cause again, I am not a special population. There's so many of me's out there, so many women doing CrossFit, so many women lifting, so many women in figured, so many women in triathlons. And I just realized that I wasn't alone and I shouldn't have felt alone because I'm somebody who should have known more, should have known better, should have known differently. But then there wasn't the resource who was sharing those specifics. It didn't exist. And so it was through that first year postpartum where, I was coaching Division I athletics. My body fat was really low. I had dropped a lot of weight. I was really anxious, really depressed, but I just felt fundamentally changed. My brain chemistry was changed. My body felt really unfamiliar. And I felt the only thing I could control was what I could learn about myself and about my training. Cause I felt again, so confused. And every time I would try to learn more or research, it was not really applicable to women like me. It was really conservative, or it was get your body back and you're fine. And that was what we saw modeled too on social media. Even though the landscape was very different 10 years ago, all we saw was this show how flat my stomach can be at 8 weeks postpartum. And that was what my expectation was because I was really fit. I was really healthy. I knew all these things. And yet that hadn't been my experience. And so that honestly just led to a lot of investment of time and resources, trying to learn, trying to get mentored through different physical therapists. And everyone's like, how did you learn? Like, so much of it came down to one, experimentation with my own body, two, the foundation of knowledge that I'd had through my undergraduate and graduate degrees, and just connecting the dots between strength conditioning research, pelvic health, and what we know about performance, and then the psychology of all of it. There is a huge psychology component, because yep. our brains are what dictate all of our choices, all of our training, all of our belief systems and motivations. And I just kind of started connecting these dots. I was applying it to my own season of life, so to speak. And then I started coaching people locally in my community, where I really got to experiment and see, is what I believe, is what I'm learning, right?
A thing. Is it a thing?
If what I tell them to do now, is this going to help them in this way? And it was like a big reverse engineering process in a way that did not exist at all.
And I love everything that you said, because it is very much how I felt. I remember the first time that I walked into a pregnancy yoga class, and fuck me running. Oh my God. I'm like, and now you breathe. And I'm like, with one eye open, and you're like, and okay, don't strain yourself too much. And he was like putting the leg to the side. And I'm like, is this what I'm going to do?
Right.
So I relate.
They are either treated and still, right? This is 10 years ago, but still, I think a lot of times the medical community, the practitioner community will treat certain people within the fitness industry, will treat pregnant clients or women just like that, like they're fragile, that they just like that this is almost like an injury. But then the other end of the pendulum is like they're invincible. Like these rules, none of this applies to them. They're fine. They are the exception. And that's also not it. So I like to walk this like messy middle, which is so unpopular. It's not sexy. It's hard to sell, but ultimately it is what has created tremendous impact. And more importantly, like results for people.
Like 100%.
We have seen it proven over and over and over among thousands of athletes. And then through the coaches that, you know, take the certification, like you, who are then like putting out better information and guidance so that there is more context at an individual level.
I love that. And I think it's interesting that, you know, we're having this conversation because I have been lifting weights for, fuck, I'm going to sound old, 26 years.
Yeah.
You know, I have won the biggest bodybuilding competition in the world. You have coached athletes from all walks of life before you got pregnant. You had all your degrees and we're like, oh shit, I know how to do this. And then a pregnancy comes and you're like, I kind of don't. And then you do have to ask for help. And one thing that I see as a coach, and I would like to have your take on this, is like people that have done a handful of fitness competitions or have played D1 sports in college, or, you know, have been a personal trainer 15 years before getting pregnant, and or they were slim before and they're like, oh, I know what to do. Right. I don't need help. I'll just kind of like get back to it. And like, how do you change? Like, so this might be a bit of a philosophical question. How do you change this mindset that people have, especially women, that, you know, because they were able to do it before and they were slim, or because they were athlete, this barrier to be open to guidance in that it is okay to not know everything. How do you think that we get past that barrier?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think that a lot of people, if they have a lot of education or they have a lot of experience, whether it's athletically or whatnot, like, or professionally, they're going to assume that, like, well, pregnancy is natural. People have been having babies for years and years. And while that is true, our expectations for what pregnancy and training looks like has evolved so much. Our expectations for postpartum has completely changed, both from an aesthetic goal perspective and from a performance goal perspective. I don't know about you, but like, my mom wasn't trying to like be super fit or go to the gym. She didn't have athletic goals or performance goals or frankly, even fitness or really health goals 30 something years ago. Mm-hmm. She didn't. That wasn't part of the culture for women as much. Of course, there's exceptions to that rule. I think that the angle that we can come in on is just saying, like, this is a different generation of women that are navigating pregnancy and postpartum. We have access to a lot of information, yet we still are under-supported and not as informed about all of the different variables that influence our experience and our quality of life and our athletic performance during pregnancy and postpartum. So that's when we have to bring in conversations around pelvic health and diastasis and the changes that are expected during pregnancy. But generations before us, they didn't know. They're just like, "That's just what my abs look like now. This is just, I just pee my pants. I just feel like my vagina is falling out." And it was an accepted thing. But this new generation of women in their 40s, 30s, 20s, whatever, that are, you know, in their childbearing years, they're saying, "What? No, like, we now know better. We know enough. We have access to information, but we don't always have access to information that's like super helpful." So I think we have to lead with the educational piece, because while we're making a lot of progress, you know, to get people to buy in and not think that they're exempt from this or they know what to expect, we have to say, like, here's what you actually can expect to happen. These are the physiological changes that your body will experience during pregnancy. This is what to expect postpartum. These are different symptoms to be aware of. These are the changes that your body goes through. These are exercises that may or may not benefit you right now. And so, like, being able to explain a process to somebody who has a lot of professional experience or a lot of athletic experience, to me, that seems to be the angle that they learn best from, is when you're able to share, like, if you want to go to the Olympics, that doesn't start 6 weeks prior. That starts 6 years prior, right? Like, it's this long build of really knowing what you're working towards and then reverse engineering any kind of performance goal so that you're peaking for your competition. You're peaking at the right time. And we can look at what we want, say, a year postpartum, and then reverse engineer the process from there to know, like, this is what I want as a mom, as an active mom. I want to be able to hike. I want to do jujitsu. I want to maybe do another show. I want to do all these different things. Cool. So then how do we, in the ways we can control, set ourselves up through our training during pregnancy and our postpartum recovery to have the quality of life and athletic experiences that we desire long term?
Yeah, I love that you said that, because it's so interesting, because literally Friday, I had a conversation with a lady. She just had a baby and it was her second baby. And one of the things, like, I want to work with people that I know they're going to follow the protocol, because, you know, I don't want people doing fuckery. And then somebody's like, "Who the hell is coaching you?" And then they're like, "Oh, Natalia," but they're doing their own thing and they think it's my, I'm like, mm-mm. So I'm talking with her and she's like, "Oh, I can totally, like, just get back to what I was doing before." I'm like, "But life is a bit different now."
Yeah.
And there was a lot of reluctancy. And what I have found is oftentimes, and see if that's your experience, because I do know that you work with a lot of high-level athletes. Do you find that high-level athletes oftentimes are more open to outside help than those who are more on the intermediate level, that they feel like they have already accomplished the pinnacle of fitness? And I find, from my personal experience, as somebody who has worked with a lot of former professional athletes as well, that the buy-in from your intermediate gym goer and athlete is much more difficult than your high level. What has been your experience?
Yeah, I definitely agree. Well, there's certainly exceptions out there. I do feel that a lot of professional athletes are used to investing in and trusting a team of coaches. You know, like, their sport coach isn't also going to be their physical therapist, who also isn't going to be their nutritionist. Like, they know that in order to optimize their performance and peak appropriately, they're used to kind of trusting the team of professionals to guide them. And then within all of those recommendations, they get to make their autonomous choices about how they're going to navigate their training. Cool.
Yep.
But I do feel that there is a culture, because of how much access people have on social media, those intermediate athletes, kind of your general clientele, were like, "Well, this doesn't apply to me. I'm fine. I can do my own thing." Or people that maybe, you know, I see this a lot with, like, CrossFitters, like, they found CrossFit in their 20s and then they, like, fell in love with it, all the Kool-Aid. And, like, then they're so bought into that they can't see beyond that. We can see this about literally any sport. I see it in jiu-jitsu every single day. I've experienced it.
All competition.
Personally, right. Like, where you're so hyper-focused on the season that you're in that you can't see beyond that. You can't see the bigger picture. So I think if we can keep speaking to the bigger picture, what I like to refer to as like this lifetime of athleticism. Like I don't, yes, I coach pregnant and postpartum athletes, but I coach them from the scope of supporting women who are pursuing a lifetime of athleticism, knowing very well personally and professionally that pregnancy and postpartum act as a catalyst for everything to come. This is when shit gets real. This mm-hmm. is when you really figure out your body. You really figure out your food bullshit. You really figure out your body image. When all of your stuff is exposed, when you realize who you want to be as a mom, when you realize how you want to show up in the world, when all of your bullshit gets exposed, it's pregnancy and postpartum, plus all of the different mental, emotional, physical barriers that may be presented during these seasons. So from a personal and professional perspective, I see how powerful and critical these seasons are if we care about women beyond that. So my goal is to talk about a lifetime of athleticism. I want you to be 40, 50, 60, 90, living your best quality of life, whatever that looks like for you. And I know that likely pregnancy and postpartum is one of the first seasons where you're forced to face a lot of new challenges and barriers.
Oh my God. I'm like, you guys are not seeing, but I'm like shaking my head that I'm probably giving myself a freaking whiplash because I'm like, yes. And one thing that I find, just to piggyback on what you're saying, is that I have a lot of members in our community that are on the perimenopausal, menopausal season of life. Mm-hmm. And whenever we start to open the can of worms, we start to see that a lot of the challenges that they're experiencing now, you know, from what comes with perimenopause and menopause is due to several things that weren't properly addressed during that season of life on the postpartum and the pregnancy and things like that. And just like your take, people have the idea that postpartum is just like, oh, immediate after having a baby and then that's it. But I would beg to differ because what happens during that season is something that can impact what happens through the rest of your life.
Absolutely. And I think that's, you know, it's a hard thing. Like I have a 6-year-old, he's my youngest. And it's like, if someone asks me, oh, are you postpartum? Like, I'm not going to say yes. But
yes.
Technically, yeah. Like, we are, once you have a baby, you are always postpartum. And while it might be more like a term that's used for much earlier on, I think that there's, you know, you're forever changed in a lot of really good ways. And we have to acknowledge that these are seasons of life that are going to fundamentally change us physically, mentally, and emotionally. And exercise is a tool that can support us through these seasons and support us beyond. And I think that like knowing how to navigate it with a lot more intention is what I'd like to see. Because we see, again, we still see a lot of conservative messaging. It's really fear-mongering, really limiting, treating pregnant and postpartum and mothers like they're so fragile. But we have started to see a much bigger focus on this, like, you know, like kind of a glorification culture. Look what this person is doing at this many weeks pregnant, or this early postpartum, she was able to compete in this Ironman, or at this bodybuilding show, or at this whatever. Like that, we've seen a huge pendulum shift. And I'm personally seeing a lot more of the glorification culture than I am like a lot of fear mongering, because
agreed.
Like female athletes don't need to be convinced that exercise is good for them. We're like, yeah, we know. We've done that for like a long time. This is
The ship has sailed.
And like a lot of the practitioner community is like, yeah, exercise is good. Let's encourage this. I'm like, right. But like we've been bought into that for a long time. So now we have to bring that pendulum a little bit back to say it's also not a season where it's like this free for all. If we're trying to take into account all of the different changes that are happening to your body, you will have a diastasis. Your pelvic floor has a lot of new challenges and lows and pressures on it. You may be symptomatic. You're going to have a baby exit your body. That alone is a really big deal. Regardless of your exercise and your health, recovering from that is a really big deal when you have athletic and performance goals you desire to get back to, or if you have aesthetic goals, going about that in a much more sane way than what we have been shown and what we've been told to believe.
Oh my God. Where do I start with my, yes, I agree so much with it, because I see this, for example, these women trying to, oh, they pop a baby and they're like, I'm going to get ready for a competition.
Right.
And I'm like, what are you, or they have a baby and they are former competitors and then they're trying to resort to the same plan that they followed whenever they were doing competitions. That is like 2-3 hours in the gym without understanding that aside from the physical aspect of it, we do have like the big piece of the physicality, but the emotional load that 3 hours of training a day and eating lettuce and ice cubes brings, in addition to having a newborn baby, navigating the changes on the dynamic of your relationship, and then have potentially having a career in addition to that, and having to drop it like it's hot and pretending that they are not about to have a mental breakdown.
Right. Like cutting and having those kind of like high output performance goals or aesthetic goals, you have to be, I feel like in order to be really successful with that, you have to have a lot of other pieces of your life in a fairly stable place, your career, your relationships. Like you got to have a lot of things in place because you're putting yourself at a deficit in like a lot of ways because your training capacity is so high and your energy intake with food is so low. And then you add, like you said, the variables of postpartum. Like postpartum, it's not a time to resort to what you would do during a cut. It's not a time to resort to what you would do during competition. And the sole purpose that I have found for the people that are like, I signed up for an Ironman, I signed up for a bodybuilding show, I signed up for this, I'm going to do this, whatever, literally any kind of thing at 4 months postpartum, 6 months postpartum, 8 months postpartum, is because they cannot sit in the discomfort of their changed body and changed life. So they're like, what can I do that's going to, quote, motivate me, or that's going to make me happier, make me feel better about myself? Well, this is what I know how to do. This is what's worked before. Instead of, and this is the hard part, like sitting in the discomfort of acclimating to your new life and your new body, which will not be your, like how you look and how you feel early postpartum is not how you're going to look and feel and perform forever. But we are so tempted to rush that process. And in doing so, a lot of times there is damage done, both from a core and pelvic floor symptom perspective, but also from a mental and emotional perspective, because you will never, ever get that particular season of your life back. And if you look back saying, oh my God, I cannot believe I was so sleep deprived, only eating chicken and tuna and trying to drink all of this water and like really just depleting myself. And like, I hardly remember what my baby was like at 6 months old.
Yeah.
That's going to sting. And it does sting. Yeah. And I know that because I did that too. When I was kids, right? Like I can speak to this without judgment, because I get it. I get that, like, when you are, so many things are out of your control, you're like, what can I control? Okay,
I can control
calories, I can control my exercise, I can control like my output. I will just like athlete brain through it. But like I'm telling you, you have this lifetime of athleticism ahead of you that is so much better than anything prior. I promise you're not warmed up, and there is time. Give yourself that time.
I love that. And it's kind of like the message that it kind of piggybacks on what you were saying, that women who are hard performers and have the background of athleticism, we don't need to be told to exercise. Say no more, Bugatti.
Yeah.
And off you go to the gym. And then there is the whole idea, because whenever I have somebody that tells me, oh, I'm just going to do what I was doing before. And I'm like, okay, what if I'm just going to listen to my body. And the idea of listening to your body is probably the biggest bullshit out there.
Terrible at that. We all like to think we're good at it. And we're like, not. We're good at overriding listening to our body.
What do you call that? You have a name for that? The athlete brain. Can you tell us a little bit about, because I use athlete brain as well, and it's your term, so I'm not going to take ownership. So can you explain to us what athlete brain is?
Athlete brain. Yeah, it's a term that I came up with when I was first postpartum, and I was trying to describe my personality to a physical therapist I was working with. And I was like, I don't know, I got like this athlete brain where it's like, I can push through. And like, I think it's the best way to describe it is like a typical high performer, but it's not just reserved for fitness. Like, you know, there's a lot of, you're really routine driven, competitive, successful, very driven, very passionate. and you like to
stop attacking me.
I know. Right? Well, this is me and like probably most women listening to this, right? Like, but it doesn't just end at fitness. It translates into work. It translates into how you show up in your family. It's literally a part of like who you are, but it's also attached to ego, anxiety, fear. It's like a coping mechanism in some ways. So I do talk about learning to leverage it and gaining more maturity in that process so that you can understand your beliefs and your motivations, and then also be able to take a step back to have a little bit more of a mature approach to your training, to your choices, to your belief systems, and not being so rigid. And I think that motherhood's a great opportunity for so many athletes to examine their rigidity around their belief systems and their approach to exercise, nutrition, and training. Because it's like, well, a baby doesn't care about your routine or your schedule, right? Like you have to adapt to this baby, even if you're the most routine driven person ever, right? Which is probably you, certainly me. And I had a baby that was like, absolutely not. You had a goal to work out. I'm gonna wake up, you know, like
cute, buckle up
for 10 years. So I think that there's just, it's understanding a mentality and it's understanding the motivations behind that mentality. So then you can better communicate and coach. I think so much of my like quote success has been because I can speak this language to people. I get them. I understand where they're coming from. I understand what they want to do. I understand who they are. I'm not judging them for it. I see you. I hear you. I understand you. I can validate your feelings, right? These fundamental needs that we have. And also, I'm going to give you a really practical, direct approach to accomplish what you want, because this is a part of who you are. If you're a high performer, then just like, hold on and trust me.
Yeah. And that's one thing. I have a term for what you're saying with the rigidity is like structure flexibility, because that's what I find that a lot of women who are these high performers, high achievers, that they should sometimes they even give up on their fitness journey because, you know, my time to work out is at 6 a.m.
Right.
But then 6 a.m. comes and something happens or somebody's sick or somebody has these sniffles or whatever it is. And it's like, see, 6 o'clock passed. I cannot do anything. So I'm not going to do anything at all. And then it just becomes that snowball. So right. I think that postpartum is really that season that you allow yourself to take a step back and not necessarily let it go, but learn how to work with the cards that you're dealing with on a daily basis.
Absolutely. It's like learning to be okay with like, if I used to spend 3 hours in the gym, or if I used to go to this CrossFit class at this set time every day, like maybe that's not in the cards for me right now. But you and I are both on the other side of that season. And like, it comes back. You do get it back. And sometimes it's even better because you have so much more appreciation and perspective, and you have a better, we're so much more efficient. We have such better perspective. Like, so I feel like even now I am a much better athlete and I'm doing way more athletic shit than I was ever doing in my early 20s.
I love that. And so you work with a lot of professional athletes, and we've spoken about this in private, but I feel like women are in a tough position because you have, and I can speak this from my personal experience, you know, whenever your body is your tool of work and, you know, you have these women who are sponsored by big companies like Nike or whatever it is. Yeah. And there is that desperation that is instilled in them that they need to come back and show up and perform. Mm-hmm. And it happens in the military as well. It happens, you know, so how do we navigate this as women, as coaches, as people, women who have platforms? How do we navigate this from a societal standpoint, another philosophical question, and also from a practitioner standpoint with dealing with our clients that they do have legitimate needs. If you have to go back to the military, shit, I need to get you going. So how do we navigate that?
You know, and I think this is where we say like, there's so much nuance in coaching. We meet people where they are and we say like, this is your goal. This is the timeline. Then we got to be adaptable with that. Like what sacrifices are we willing to make? Well, like maybe this isn't what I would recommend to you or to me or to whoever. It doesn't matter because this is what this unique person with these goals or responsibilities has, and let's figure it out. Because otherwise they're going to be left on their own. So instead of having like a really rigid approach or I don't recommend this, like, well, we're going to figure it out. And you know, I've worked with a lot of people with a lot of big goals, with a lot of tight timelines. And I think when given that, we can adjust that timeline. It still kind of mirrors what the stretched out timeline would look like, the process, right? We're just going to maybe push boundaries a little bit faster. We're going to blur some lines a little bit faster. And then we're going to make sacrifices. Sometimes those are mental, emotional, physical, maybe it's nursing, whatever. Like there's so many different things that might have to be sacrificed. And as long as that woman feels supported and heard and understood, and that she's making choices that like the best choices she can right now, then I know that like I'm doing my job. So I think we can speak most of the time to the masses, but with these, you know, very specific goals and timelines, there's a lot we can do to still support them.
But not only, I love that and I'm right there with you. But I think also as a society as well, and again, philosophical question, what comes first, the egg or the chicken? Because we have like, are women pushing themselves and putting themselves out there to push the boundaries because there is this expectation, you know, from companies, from the workforce, from society, or is the other way around?
Yeah. I mean, I think if in a perfect world, they wouldn't have these unrealistic expectations, right? We'd have corporations and different sponsors and different timelines for our military and tactical athletes. Like we would just, it would be different. And then at the same time, it's just, it's not. Mm-hmm. So then how do we, again, meet them where they are? I think there's a ton of different things that need to be done from a systematic perspective.
Yes.
Women's healthcare in general be more supported. For our mothers to be more supported so that, you know, I say athleticism doesn't end when motherhood begins, but like our careers and our goals and our passion should not have to end when motherhood begins. It shouldn't have to be compromised, but we're not really set up in some ways to, sometimes we do feel like we have to choose or something has to be like really sacrificed if we're going to pursue one versus the other. And certainly not a perfect system, but we are making some strides.
Yeah, I love that. So now you are obviously because you provide courses that I have taken myself, you're in contact with a lot of coaches. Yeah. So how are you seeing the mommy blogger, you know, because that's something that is what pushed me to pursue learning more about pregnancy and postpartum, obviously for my own body, but at the time I already had a following on social media. Yeah. And I knew that the decisions that I made were also to an extent going to have an impact on people. I felt that responsibility. I'm like, I'm not going to be out there doing, you know, like tow bars, whatever, and crazy shit, because I knew that people would be looking at me and being like, oh, she's doing that. I'm going to do that too.
Yeah.
So how are you finding these mommy bloggers and athletes that we don't have control dictating and putting the message in a way? How are you seeing this impact the pregnancy and postpartum community at this moment in time when there is all this information out there and we're not only trying to help the person in front of us, but we're also helping them understand that just because somebody else is doing it is not necessarily the best way to do it.
Yeah. You know, what's been interesting is like, there's always been that athlete. And I say this with like air quotes, like from when I was pregnant too. And frankly, like I was also that person that was being like featured here and there doing like whatever kind of crazy shit during pregnancy or postpartum, like 10 years ago, like this, again, none of this is like new, but I think the awareness and the spotlight and the highlighting of it, that has certainly grown over the years. But what's been really interesting to be like so in the mix of this is to watch the evolution of before it was like all praise or it was all fear mongering, right? Like it was, we again saw both ends of the spectrum. And now when you see somebody who's doing something that maybe you or I wouldn't necessarily recommend or program for our clients, what you see in the comment sections are people that are like actually giving really solid advice or like that they actually maybe know differently or know quote better in some ways. I get tagged in on things all the time. We have people, the level of awareness around a more informed approach to training during pregnancy and postpartum has astronomically improved. And while it can be frustrating to feel like our messaging and this information, it's like washed out by some people and some different brands or messaging that's just maybe not getting it as right as they could, I do see the counter to that is how much we've grown and how many people know differently, know that there's resources. Because I think the one thing that was really frustrating to me initially, and then the sentiment that's been communicated to me over and over is like, God, why didn't anyone tell me? Why didn't I know? Like, we're just so caught off guard by our body, by what our reality currently is, by just like our like really mismanaged expectations. And now because we've seen a huge spotlight on a lot of different pregnant athletes or mom athletes, we also have the conversation attached to it of like people that do know and are providing resources and are directing people my way or your way. Like they know now that this is a thing, that there's guidance and resources, that it's not limited to like just athletic ability, like of just, can I do it? You know, we do know better. So I think for everything that gets highlighted that maybe we don't agree with, there's a lot that's coming to light that, you know, has really been positive to see.
And it's that good old story, like,
can I versus should I?
the can versus should. I mean, like, can you do a handstand push-up and, you know, do all kinds of crazy stuff in PR when you're 9 months pregnant? I mean, maybe. But is that really ideal? Should you be doing that? And that's kind of the nuance to cover.
Carry? And I think when you word it like that, where they're like, well, like, I could find the benefit by training quite a few other stimuluses, right? That aren't as taxing on this system that is already, frankly, being super taxed by a baby.
No, 100%. Now I want to switch gears a little bit and kind of not so much switch gears, but not so much talk about the pregnancy and postpartum aspect of things. But I love that you share a lot of content around navigating athleticism with your kids, because I, like, as someone who works with a lot of women that, like, on that more the general population, not professional athletes, some of them might be former professional athletes. But one thing that I'm seeing repeatedly is that a lot of these women's trouble with their bodies and with food and with how they perceive exercise comes from their upbringing.
It
is being wild to me, you know, and that's something that I have been very intentional with my own kids. And I saw a post of yours recently that was talking about getting a workout before your kids' sporting events or something like that. I loved that because I resonated. Can you explain what the post is so the listeners can understand and why?
Yeah. So our whole family does jujitsu. So I'll like, we're just kind of a competitive, aggressive bunch. But so that's like the first disclaimer. My boys had a competition and these things run like all day. And for me, even though like I really understand jujitsu and like I'm not a parent that like yells or like joysticks anything from the sidelines, I'm like adamantly against that. Being there and like watching your kids throw down is like, it's freaking intense. Like my anxiety is really high. And if you go to any sporting events, both my boys are really athletic. They do a lot of different sports. You go to any sporting event and you see parents that just like lose their shit on the sidelines. They're joysticking, they're yelling. They put a lot of pressure on their kids. They're just trying to like overcoach them. And like, when I look at that, I'm like, that is a person who has like their own unmet stuff. Unmet needs, like they need to channel that energy and intensity somewhere else. And so for me, I know that on the days where my boys are competing, I'm going to be working out early that morning because I need, for my own anxiety, watching them like literally fight people, like I need to expend that energy, make sure that I'm taken care of so that my own body feels good. And then I can show up better for them. So I just think it's a really good hack on the, when you're going to be sitting on the sidelines all day at a soccer game or in the baseball stand, that's where I'm at right now is baseball season, which is like, there's a lot of sitting, just some long game. Like, so whether it's for like the intensity of like controlling your own emotions or because our game days are really sedentary for grownups, like you got to be able to use exercise as a tool to like help you manage your own brain and body. And your kids will absolutely benefit from that. If you can have your own energy on lock, then you're able to really absorb theirs.
How have you found that your athleticism and like the things that you do, because, you know, that's another thing that I see often women talking about their own bodies because their mom talked about their own bodies. So they're just kind of, and then they might change a little bit. They were like, oh, but you know, I don't say it in front of my kids, but I avoid photos and I don't do this and I don't get in the pool. And there is like this myriad of things that they don't do. And then I'm like, do you think your kids are not seeing?
Right.
So on the flip side of that, how have you found your own athleticism and your husband's as well? How have you found that impact your children's?
It's truly all they have ever known. Like Cade was in the gym with me as a newborn. Same with Chance. I've coached with them in a variety of settings, from collegiate athletics to running my own businesses, to doing different consultations. Like they've gone to a UFC fight with me with like a fighter that I'm coaching. They've been so immersed in this world. They don't know any different. And every single week they see both my husband and I do jujitsu. And like, you know, they see their mom fighting grown men like every day. And it is not weird to them. This is all they have ever known. And I think when you can just make the fitness and the lifestyle that you enjoy, that kind of activity or sport or fitness, they see me compete. They see me win. They see me lose. They see me in my feelings and being frustrated with my own performance. They see me in the morning lifting and they know like Cade is 10 and he'll be like, I think you need to go work out. Like if I'm cranky, like they literally
stop it.
Oh, he calls me on my show. Are like so similar. It's really annoying. It's fine when you get trolled by like a mini version of yourself. Just wait, girl. But it's funny. Oh,
but right.
That is what they know. It is not unusual to see me pushing a sled down the street. All the little boys on our street, we have like 10 little boys on our street. Like I am the crazy mom. I'm always working out in the driveway, pushing the sled down the street. It is normal. And I love that this shit is normalized. I love that that's what they see. I love that they know that I eat like the same thing most of the time because I like genuinely enjoy it. I like that they also see me eat ice cream with them and that it's not like weird. Like,
yeah,
not rigid. I want us to have a fun quality of life. And that has been something that's just such a natural part of my life that it's always been a natural part of my motherhood. And what's been really cool the last few years, again, Cade is 10, Chance is 6, is like, I'm seeing them become their own competitive, driven, intrinsically motivated humans. Neither Jared or I put pressure on them to like, do well, or you got to do this, or you got to do that. Like, no, like I want them to participate. I believe in like having your kids involved in as many sports as possible, as early as possible. So like we play lots of different sports in this household. But what's been cool is like it is a belief system that's been instilled in them. Just like my mom instilled in me that like, there's nothing I couldn't do. For these boys, what they see demonstrated and what they've been told is like, of course you can play baseball, do jiu-jitsu, try basketball, do all these different sports. And like it's just embedded into their nature, like beyond genetics, like it's been kind of nurtured into them because it's a huge part of our lifestyle.
I love it. And same here. It's funny. My husband is a former professional rugby player and he had his own routine on days off games. And now I see him kind of whenever Chloe has a game early in the morning, he wake her up a little bit earlier so she can set the energy. And we always ask, are you proud of how you played today?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it? What do you think that you did well? What do you think that you can improve?
Yeah.
Like it's putting, letting them recognize the things that they're doing well and the things that they can improve. I think that that's very powerful. Yeah. Although I am a little bit of the crazy mom on the side that is like, let's go. Yeah. Woo! Like I'm Brazilian.
But like the cheering is great. It's when
you, I do the cheering.
Just trying to coach from the sidelines, enjoy seeing your every single move that I'm like,
oh, I hate that.
Or when they're like coaching them afterwards. Oh, you should have done this. You should have done that.
Oh no.
When you can lead, like almost like learn to treat your kid in sports. I know we're totally going on a tangent, which I appreciate with you and I, but like, you know, when you can, I call it coach mom. I will ask Cade, my 10-year-old, like, do you want me to talk to you like a coach right now? Or do you want me to talk to you like a mom? And like,
I love that.
He will say mom. So then I'll just like be nurturing and loving and supportive. And if I can speak to it, I'm, you know, like I, and he wants me to talk to him like a coach. Sometimes it's just more of like a pump up and motivation angle with it versus like super sport specific. But then he knows that. And it's like being able to have that open communication where you're like leading with questions.
Yes.
Like you said, like, did you have fun? What did you enjoy? And then like, you might get shut down eventually where they're like, I don't want to talk to you right now, mom. And like, and then you're like, okay, cool. Like I get shut down all the time.
Got it.
You know? But it's fine because when you lead with those questions, like you know how to read the room instead of like pushing their boundaries where then kids get burned out, they get injured, they don't like that sport anymore. And then they quit. Mm-hmm. And we're just like repeating this cycle. So I think being able to like how parents communicate with their kids and plus our own actions, that's going to determine our kids and what it looks like for them to pursue their own lifetime of athleticism.
I love that. I love that. And now we're going to go on another tangent, like we're touring the tangents, but I just, because you and I think we see very eye to eye with this next question that I'm going to ask, which is you moved from California to Idaho.
Yes.
With, you know, two small kids, not knowing a lot of people. And initially not having a lot of support because I don't think your mom was there yet. So there were a lot of transitions while running your own business and juggling a lot of balls. And one thing that I noticed is that you do a lot of outsourcing with helping with your kids, outsourcing with helping with things around the house. And I'm the same because there are things like I can recognize that I am absolutely god awful at folding clothes. I hate laundry. I'm not going to do it. I hate it. And that was like the thing. I'm like, okay, if I can get help with that, outsource that, I can focus on the things that I'm good at. So how do you find that outsourcing has allowed you to thrive as a mom, as a business owner, and as an athlete?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's getting those priorities in line is like, well, first it's my responsibilities are like my mom life. And what do I want to really focus on? Like now my kids are in school all day, which is crazy. Like, I'm like, oh, this is like free. I forgot this could be a thing, you know, but you know, they're in school. So it's like my time is actually, I just have a lot more of it now, which it honestly feels even weird to admit that. But with that, oh, have I figured out how to fill my time? Because now I'm like really involved in jiu-jitsu and like kind of tapping into being more competitive with that. But my business has grown dramatically over the years. So it's figuring out how can I prioritize the time I spend with my kids? That's going to be my number one. And my business, which helps fuels everything else I'm able to do. And then the training that like really helps make me. And so it's figuring out the things that are really important to me or the variables within those things that are really important to me and to be involved in. And then, yeah, like I don't want to clean my house. So someone's going to come every couple weeks and that's going to be something that I pay for because that's going to keep me in my zone of genius of either the work that I'm doing or how I'm spending my, you know, activities, my enjoyment of training. Or, you know, the time with my family. So there's just little things that we can outsource. And I think mom guilt's really hard. Took me a long time to be someone who was like, you know, I'm kind of used to doing it all. Like I would athlete brain the shit out of mom life. And then you've been raised really poor or, you know, in my case, like poor and my single mom. It was really hard to like justify certain things and then be okay with like how my lifestyle looked. And like, I live pretty conservatively, but then there's other things that like, you know, I will invest more in because then it allows me to like use my time and my time freedom is what I value like more than anything. Cause that's what allows me to have the lifestyle I desire and want to keep building upon with my kids, my business and my physicality, my athleticism.
Yeah. Yep. Amen to all of that. And that's something I love that you touched on mom guilt piece of it, because that is something that I see even with the ladies that we work with. They're like doing all these things. And I'm like, why the hell are you spending your whole Sunday doing X, Y, and Z when it is something that you could very well outsource because you do have the means to do it. So then you don't feel guilty to take 30 minutes, 45 minutes, three times a week to exercise.
Yeah, it is. I think it's a hard line of like figuring out like if we can financially swing it to outsource, then can we tell ourselves that we're worthy of swinging it? You know, like if you would tell your husband it's no problem that he goes and he plays golf for like half the day or whatever. I'm not a golf person, but like, you know,
neither am I.
Kind of like choose low. Weird double standards for ourselves as women and as mothers. And yet those standards don't always exist with our partners or what we would tell a friend or whatever. And again, there's a lot of different barriers for people feeling like they have the ability to have more support and have help. So, I mean, it's hard to speak on that, but I think that when people do have the ability to outsource and they're actively choosing not to, it's because it's coming from a place of them not feeling worthy or almost like a weird expectation that we put on ourselves or that our society has put on ourselves.
I find that even with hiring a coach as well, like a lot of times not finding that they're worthy of outsourcing that piece and having that peace of mind, not only with stuff around the house, but also kind of coming full circle with the coaching.
Yeah.
Well, Brianna, thank you so much for your visit here, for your chat today. I'm super excited that I got to chat with you. And I have one fun question for you. If you could get in a plane tomorrow, where would you go?
I could really use a tropical vacation, but I don't want to be in an airplane for too long because then I get antsy pantsy. So I would just go to Hawaii. I think that sounds like a really great compromise.
Okay. Hawaii is where you'd go?
Yeah. Not too far of a plane ride. And I'd be, you know, in water by an ocean and it'd be nice.
I love it. I asked this because I know that you like to travel and you went on the Icelandic adventure with a baby, which I thought was absolutely hilarious.
It was really funny. Now to look back on it, I'm like, I can feel like climbing volcanoes with like a bait, but it's fine. Yeah.
that doesn't sound very safe, but YOLO, man.
Yeah, like I told you, I will athlete brain the shit out of everything. And I feel like that whole trip was like, I will make this family memory worth it. It's going to be fine.
It's vital for the picture. We need to create memories.
Oh, my God. It was actually, that ended up being like one of my favorite vacations, though, because you have to bring my mom along. I was able to bring her on that vacation and somewhere that she'd always wanted to go. And she was so stoked to be there. So it's almost like she was like the third kid who was way more like into it than anybody else.
I loved Iceland. I loved Iceland. Like the Blue Lagoon for me was like, I loved it.
Yes.
All right, Brianna, thank you. Can you share with everybody where they can find you, where they can learn a little bit more about you? And you know, the mic is yours.
Yes. You can find me on Instagram at Brianna.battles. And the other, the brand account is at pregnant.postpartum.athlete. Website is the Pregnant and Postpartum Athlete. And if you'd like to become a pregnancy and postpartum athleticism coach, enrollment is opening soon. And I can make sure that you have the link for that if you'd like.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be really fun. So
cool. When is it? Like soon? How soon? Like just
later this month. We're in April now. So,
oh, perfect. So it's going to be coming out within April. So I'm going to grab that link for you, put it on the show notes so everybody can check it out and join if they want to learn a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you need a training program for pregnancy or postpartum to help bridge that gap between like your rehab and your athletic performance, I got you. So go to my website, for all that information and any questions, feel free to DM me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Bree. Speak soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in this week. But let me ask you, what was your aha moment in today's episode? I would love to know. You can leave me a comment or voice message at the link in the show description. You can also follow me on Instagram and let me know what topics you want to hear more about or who I should have on the show. As for today, this is it for today, guys. I'll see you back next week for another episode of the Unfiltered Fit Life podcast.